Grace, mercy, and peace from our God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, from my gentle and lowly heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is our text for today. Dear brother and sister, today is the sixth Sunday after Pentecost. This season of church year is characterized by our Lord's richest blessings and gift in Christ to his church, Christ's church. The gospel lessons of this Pentecost season starts with Pentecost. John 7, 37 to 39. Our Lord's promise of the most precious gift of his Holy Spirit to all believers for the sake of his church and the whole creation, for the forgiveness of sin and eternal life. On the Trinity Sunday, the risen Lord in Matthew chapter 28, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the risen one promises to his disciples, his whole church, he will be with them in his mission of salvation until the end of the world. From that day on, church started in Jesus' name, the universal mission to make all nations his disciples, Jesus' disciples, to baptize them and teach them, both in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So church is a divine gift and a divine institution from God for the salvation of the world. In the following Sundays, we see the way, God's way, Christ's way of doing missions. Jesus himself called one of his disciples, the despised tax collector Matthew. Jesus came to not to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus showed God's merciful heart. In the last two Sundays, Jesus called to himself his 12 disciples, and give them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal every disease and every affliction. Not only did Jesus give them his authority to his church, but he also teaches them the challenging nature of the Christian mission. Because of Jesus' radical teaching of the love of God and the love of neighbor against the Pharisaic legalistic teaching of the law. The question is, how could such weak sinners like Matthew, like Peter, like the other disciples, and us can face the mission challenges of human weakness, sinfulness, doubt, little faith, resistance from the people, persecutions from authorities, betrayal even by our own, death and divisions and disunities in their and our own families. This Christ mission seems to be impossible from a human perspective. But our gospel text today, Matthew 11, verse 25 to verse 30, continues and develops the theme of Christ's mission discourse from chapter 8 to chapter 11, beginning of chapter 11. And give us a sure and clear answer, actually, for the nature of being a Christian. You know, brothers and sisters, being a Christian is being a Christ missionary in our concrete and specific vocation from God Himself. Jesus says, I'll repeat here, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your life and your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. But Jesus' answer seems to be paradoxical. Jesus' yoke is light, and Jesus' burden is easy. Jesus' burden is light. How can a yoke be easy? How can burden be light? So I looked upon my dictionary. It tells me, a yoke is a wooden crossbeam or a frame used to harness a pair of draft animals, like oxen, together so they can pull heavy loads. Figuratively, the term refers to a burden, bond, or state of servitude. You see, the very purpose of a yoke is for heavy loads. Indeed, Jesus' yoke is very, very heavy because he has a huge task. His task to save the world and his people. He shall save his people from their sins. Jesus is the eternal Son of God, the eternal Word. But he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born in the womb of an unmarried Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. The Apostles' Creed proclaims. Also, in Philippians 2, shows us a vivid picture about Jesus' yoke. Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. This is Jesus' yoke as our Savior. Jesus came to us from heaven to reconcile us with the Father Almighty, the Creator of the heaven and the earth, not by revenge and violence, gold or silver, but with the precious blood of his own blood on the cross. He is always obedient to his Father's will in whatever he does. He is the Son, obedient Son, the Son of the Father. He was baptized by John the Baptist for our sake, for all righteousness' sake. He resisted the devil's temptation with God's pure word. He fulfilled himself, God's holy and divine law. He redeemed us and all his creation back to God the Father. He paid this precious priestly blood of life as God's own Son. As the third servant of the Lord, he took our illnesses and bore our disease. The prophet Isaiah spoke adequately about the nature of Jesus' yoke. For he grew up before God like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty than we should look at him, and no beauty than we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteem him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? You see, brothers and sisters, that is Jesus' yoke. His yoke is indeed very heavy. But for us, that's you, he bears for us. Nobody else in this world can bear such a heavy yoke and a burden. This yoke belongs to Jesus himself. A yoke of the sacrifice for the transgression of God's people, of and of the salvation of the world. A yoke of love and mercy. There is no sacrifice except Jesus, which can save us from our sinful existence. The death and the devil. St. Paul, in today's epistle, describes our existential predicament very well. So I found that this law is at work when I want to do what is good. What is evil is the only choice I have. My inner being delights in the law of God, but I see a different law at work in my body, a law that fights against the law which my mind approves of. It makes me a prisoner to the law of sin, which is at work in my body. What an unhappy man or wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that takes me to death? Thanks be to God, who does this through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the key. You see, brothers, I'm speaking right now. Many of us think, the body is sin. Our flesh is the sin. That's not what Paul is talking about. The body is precious. The soul is precious. God created all of us in His image. In His own image, He created both men and women. He loves us. He loves our body. He cherishes us, our body. That's why He sent His Son in our flesh to save our body and soul from the eternal condemnation. The problem is not the body or the soul or us. The problem is the sin, the sinfulness, the devil. God never created the sin. God didn't even create the devil. All great God's creation is good, indeed, very good. So God created us. Then He gave us His most precious word. The first precious word. You can freely eat the fruit from this garden, except for that fruit you don't eat. The day you will eat, you will die. You will surely die. A most precious word of promise, but also a caution, a command. God tells Adam and Eve very clearly, with this word of the Holy Spirit, of Jesus' Spirit, full of life, full of promise. For the fleshy Adam and Eve. So the problem is not the man and the women, The problem is sin, disobedience, the devil. No, disobedience, rebellion against the good and divine word of life from God. That's the problem. So when our fathers, our forefathers, the first man and woman listened to their distorted word, the devil's word, they rebelled against God. That's the thing God hates. That's the thing God wants to get rid of. The sin which leads to death and the devil. But the word, God's word, is always for our salvation, for Adam and Eve, for us. That's why we as Christians, even today, you know, dear brothers, sisters, you are holy saints in Christ, pure and beautiful. And this is a divine institution. No hell, nothing can conquer this place. Nothing can conquer or destroy God's people. But Paul cries here, like us. You know, we know the law is good, beautiful, holy, divine, with a promise you know, for life. But when the sin came into the world, and we did that, we follow the distorted word. Then in our flesh, we are not obedient like Jesus. We are rebellious in our sinful nature. In our sinful nature. But not the thing God created, not the very nature of us, not the essence of human being. That's not the essence of human being. Our being is bound with Jesus Christ, our Lord. Sinfulness is alienness, is alien to God's creation. So we fight every day, every minute, every night, not with our body, but with that rebellious spirit, the devil, our sinfulness. So I return to 5. Jesus Christ is the key. God the Son became one of us. He bears our sin and weakness. God declares us to be his children through our baptism into Christ. We were once dead in sin, but now alive in the Holy Spirit. Christ gives us the faith and the Holy Spirit through the hearing of God's pure word. He gives us a new heart. Can we see a new body to return to God? He gives us a baby-like trusting heart in God the Father. He set us free from sin, death, and the devil. We are no longer today obedient slaves to sin. So today, we take delight in God's law and listen joyfully to God's holy calling in our life, in our family, as father, as son, as children, in our congregation, as God's people, as ministry teams, as elders, as pastors. Jesus Christ is our true pastor. And we follow our calling in the United States, in this country. And not only this country, but the whole world. We are the salt of the earth and the light on the mount because of Jesus. Jesus has borne his yoke for us. So today we can say Jesus' yoke is indeed for us. It's indeed easy for us because he is God with us, the Emmanuel, in the very beginning of the gospel. We know that. It's a yoke of truth, love, mercy, sacrifice, eternal life, and freedom as God's children in this world, this God's world. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, Amen.